Today Shir Masechta Erev and Daf Yud Daled. We will begin on Daf Yud Gimel on the base at the Mishnah. When the Mishnah teaches us HaKairish Amru, we've been discussing in our Masechta that in order to be able to carry an Amavui, you need to put perhaps one of the ways to be able to carry an Amavui is by putting a Kaira, a beam, across the entrance of the Amavui. Teaches us the Mishnah HaKairish Amru, the dimensions that make it into a valid kaira is rechava kedei lekabel ariach. The dimensions of an ariach is a brick, and the dimensions of a brick were the brick in its longer side was 3 tefachim, but in the depth of the ariach was a tefach hamechza. So the Mishnah is teaching us that in order to be considered a valid kaira, it has to have that the ariach, the tefach and a half depth should be able to sit on that kaira. Variach, and what is that measurement? Chatzi levona shleshlein tefachim. It's a half of a brick that the shear of the brick is 3 tefachim. Says the Mishnah, and the Gemara will immediately, in Mitzvah Shem, discuss how we understand this line of the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Dai lekar shtei rechov a tefach. It's enough that the kaira should be in the depth. A tefach, kedei lekabel ariach, that it should be able to have an ariach sit on it, the rochvay. Of course, we just said it's a tefach and a half, so the question will be, why is a tefach adequate? So the Rashi says, why do we need to have that the kaira should be this sturdy? Because it should be like a binyan, should be like something that I'm building, and something that we build is sturdy. Rabbeinu Yonason explains that we don't want that the kaira should get deteriorate in rain. It would rain, and the kaira is obviously outside, subject to all the elements. So if the kaira is left, so if the kaira is a little sturdier, a little thicker, even if it will be rained upon or whatever, it'll still be strong enough to last. The Ravid explains because we want to have a proper hecker. And the way we have a proper hecker is when we have a bigger size ariach. The Miri says the same point. We want to show that this wasn't just put on there haphazardly. It was put on there with a purpose. And if it's going to be so, if it's not significant enough, it doesn't look like it was put there deliberately. Another pshat is that Rabbeinu Chananel suggests that we don't want it to blow away in the wind. So again, if it's strong enough, it's not going to blow away in the wind. So again, it has to be rechava kedei lekabel ariach. It has to be wide enough that the ariach should rest on it, or bria, and strong enough that the ariach should be able to stay on it. Rabbi Yehuda says rechava al b'shem bria. As long as the rechava has the proper width, even though it's not sturdy, it's still going to be a valid kaira. Continues the Mishnah. If the kaira was made out of straw or out of sticks, the halacha is we look at it as if it was made out of kilu shamatris. So the Gemara is going to explain that what the Mishnah means to say is that this is a continuation of the opinion of what Rabbi Yehuda just taught us. Rabbi Yehuda just taught us that it doesn't have to be that sturdy. Then here we're learning even more than that, that even if it's specifically made out of a material which is flimsy, it's still going to be considered a kosher or a kaira. But Ritva says that just because Rabbi Yehuda is being lenient and allowing us to use even this light material to manufacture the kaira doesn't mean it doesn't have to have the proper width. The proper width that we're discussing is always necessary. Akuma. Continues the Mishnah. If the kaira was made like a semicircle, that it's not exactly laying flat on top of the mavui, but this, it goes up in the middle, roin kilush pshuta. The halacha looks at it as if it were flat. Agula, if it's circular, again, we look at it like it was straight and it's considered a kosher kaira. Koshesh by Hakef Shlosh Tvachim. And then the Mishnah concludes that whenever you have a circumference, if you have a koira that was made out of a round piece of wood with a circumference of 3 tefachim, so the Mishnah is teaching us, and the Gemara will explain it more, that whenever you have that kind of circumference, that means you're going to have it would be considered in a flat area, an area of a tefach wide, and if an area is tefach wide, then it's a valid koira. There's a machlokes rishonim that even though in the first part of the Mishnah, when we have a koira made out of these flimsy materials, machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama, if it's a valid koira or not. So now the rishonim discuss the second part of the Mishnah, when we had all these koiras that have these interesting shapes. Will that also be a subject of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan? There are Rishonim that are of the opinion, the Rajba, the Ritva, the Rambam, all hold that in these halachas, the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yehuda. However, there are Rishonim that are of the opinion that hold that the entire part of the Mishnah, from where Rabbi Yehuda's opinion begins to be stated, represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, to which the Rabbanan aren't agreeable to. Begins the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, we said that the koira has to be deep enough to hold ariach. And we also said the depth of an ariach is a tefach and a half. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, so why is a koira valid when it's just a tefach deep? Ask the Gemara, tefach u'machtza boy. It should require tefach u'machtza to be able to hold the ariach on it. Answers the Gemara, kivan, the rochav, the kabel tefach, if you have a koira that's a tefach deep, idach chatzi tefach, the other half a tefach that's still missing, mabon lebetina, we could take some clay, we could take some cement and smear it, because if we take that half a tefach, we have to divide that half a tefach in half. So if we're dividing that half a tefach in half, all we really need is a quarter of a tefach on each side of the koira. So mabon lebetina, will smear some cement there, mashu mahaygisa, a little from one side, or mashu mikhaygisa, and a little from the other side, the kaima, and that'll be good enough for the koira to be able to be sturdy, and that's why the Mishnah said it's going to be enough if it's just a tefach wide. So the machlokes rishonim, when the Gemara says here, it's adequate, that if we put a tefach, we put some here, and we put some there, does that mean that we actually have to put it there? And that's why, since we actually put the cement on the two sides of the koira, that's why it's going to be considered a valid koira. That's one way of understanding the Gemara. Another way of understanding is that we don't actually put it there. The way to understand, rather to understand is, since it's only a very small requirement to make the koira valid, since such a small amount is required to make this koira valid koira, even if we don't actually physically do it, it doesn't make a difference. The fact that it could be done is enough to make it into a kosher koira. Amar continues the Gemara. Amar Rabba Barav Huna, koira she'amru, the koira that we spoke about in our Mishnah, tzrich hashtek b'riya kedei l'kabel ariach. It has to be strong enough that an ariach can rest on it. Umamide koira, and continues the Mishnah, the Gemara, the different pegs on which the koira rest, ain't tzrichin she'b'riya kedei l'kabel koira ariach. They don't have to be strong enough that they should hold both a koira and an ariach on top of them. The reason you need to have a koira strong enough to hold an ariach is that when it's that thick, it shows that it's something permanent. And as long as the koira is strong enough, the fact that the pegs that are holding up this koira aren't that strong, it doesn't make a difference. Chizda disagrees. Chizda ma echad zeh v'echad zeh. Both the koira and the pegs that keep up the koira, they have to be sturdy enough to hold it. And if they're not sturdy enough to hold it, it's not a valid kaira. Amr says the Gemara first, and I was thinking maybe this machlokes is the Rishonim that debated a moment ago when you have, do you have to actually have the cement, or is it only because potentially you could have the cement, it's good enough? Maybe that machlokes is connected to this machlokes. The mandam that says here, you have to have that the pegs and the kaira are strong enough, don't rely on our imagination. They have to have that it actually is there. The other mandamer holds that as long as it shows that we have a significant kaira, more than that is not required. Says the Gemara Amar of Sheshes, Hoysa kaira agabi mavi. You had your kaira at the entrance of the mavi. Or parts of lemachzelis, and then you put there a curtain to be a mechitza for the mavi. Rigbia menakarka shloisha, but that machzelis, that curtain, doesn't reach the floor. It's three tfachim off the floor. Says the Gemara, now we have an issue. Kaira enkan, we don't have a valid kaira, or mechitza enkan, we don't have a valid mechitza. And the Gemara explains why. Kaira enkan, da machasya, you don't see it. So if you can't see it, it's not going to be considered a kaira. Or mechitza enkan, and we don't have a valid mechitza here, da vala mechitza kedayim boikamba. The halacha is that a mechitza is only considered a mechitza. A mechitza is only considered a mechitza if it's a partition. Here, where you have the space between the floor and the bottom of the mechitza, through which animals could penetrate, and therefore it's not considered a valid mechitza. So Ritva explains that why, if the kaira is covered, is it not considered a valid kaira? So he explains that the purpose of the kaira, as we've discussed numerous times, is to be a hecker. But if you're going to have a situation where the kaira is covered up, so it doesn't serve as a hecker. If it doesn't serve as a hecker, it can't be considered a valid kaira. That's one approach that he says. He says, another pshat, is that if we're putting a machzelis on top of the kaira, so the machzelis now becomes part of the kaira. And if the machzelis is not sturdy enough to hold a brick, then that's not considered a valid kaira. But now, asks the Rashba, why if the mechitza, why if this machzelis is 10 tfachim long, is not considered a valid mechitza? So he says that even though it's 10 tfachim, so some Rishonim indeed say that the machzelis that we're speaking about in this Gemara is talking about a machzelis that isn't 10 tfachim long. But were the machzelis to be 10 tfachim long, so any partition which is 10 tfachim long is considered a valid partition and it's already kosher under all circumstances. There are those that disagree, and that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Samach Gimel paskins that if you have a machzelis that's 10 tfachim long, it's going to be a good partition. The discussion here is where it's not that long, and since it's not that long, we want to rely on good achas, that the good achas will make it that it should have the proper dimensions. If we want to rely on good achas, when you have gedi and baikamba, we can't apply good achas. Says the Mishnah further. Says the Gemara further. Tanar Rabbanan, kaira ayoitz mekaisel zeh, the kaira going out from one wall, ve'en in a gas mekaisel zeh, but it doesn't reach the other wall. The cane, shtei kairis, or you have two kairis, achas yoitz mekaisel zeh, one part of the kaira goes out from one wall, v'ach yoitz mekaisel zeh, and the other kaira goes out from the other wall, from the parallel walls. However, these two kairis that are sticking out, ve'enon noiga zubazu, but the two kairis don't touch each other. So the halacha is as follows. Pachs mishloisha, if the open area is less than three tfachim, then ain't tzarech lavi kaira acheres. Then this is considered a valid kaila, because we could say, loved. However, shloisha tfachim, if there's a break of three tfachim, tzarech lavi kaira acheres, then we can't apply the concept of loved, and if they can't apply the concept of loved, it's not a valid kaira. Shem Gamliel, true to his opinion, holds, pachs mi arba Ein tzarach lavri kara cheres. Because Rav Shimon Gamliel always holds that the shear for lavid is not three tfachim, but rather the shear for lavid is four tfachim. And therefore he says, if there's a break of less than four tfachim, ein tzarach lavri kara cheres, you need not bring another kara. Arba, but if there's a break of four tfachim, then the halacha is tzarach lavri kara cheres, because we can't apply the concept of lavid. The halacha that we just learned also applies, and we saw this earlier in the Masechta on Daf Tes. The Magen Avraham says this in Siman Shin Samach Gimel Sifkat Yudzayin, that if you have the kaira in the standing on a beam and it doesn't reach either wall, if as long as there's three tefachim from each wall, then it's considered a valid kaira. He does, however, say that if you have small pieces and you want to combine all these small pieces that are on top of the entrance to the mavli and keep on using lavud, that, the Chazanist said, would not be a valid application of lavud. We only could apply lavud either to combine two pieces in the middle or to combine them to the side. But to keep on using lavud more than that, Chazanist wants to say, would not be a valid application of lavud. Continues the Gemara. Hamatimais, you have two kairos that are the entranceway of the mavi. Loi bezuka de la kabbalah riach, neither kairo on its own has enough to hold an ariach. Loi bezuka de la kabbalah riach, neither kairo on its own has the ability to hold an ariach. It doesn't have that depth. Diagram 102. Ime kabbalas ariach urachvoi, if we put them together, and now they could put it, they can't hold Ariach, then the halacha is Ein Tzarach Lavi Kaira Acheres. Again, showed in diagram 102. Because here we see a bigger chiddush. Here we see that even though the two beams, each one is not thick enough, and I'm not putting them flush next to each other, it's a speaking, so there's a machlokes. The Rashba says that we don't need to have that the two of them are combined to a tefach. As long as the two of them are within three tefachim of each other, we'll be able to say, and then obviously we have the proper depth, then we'll be able to say, love it. The Mordechai, quoting the Meram Rotenberg, says that that's not pshat in the Gemara. And he says that in order for this to work, the two kairos have to be put next to each other. And if they're not put next to each other and we want to rely on lavud, we can't rely on lavud. Vimlav, and if they don't have the proper depth, tzarach lavi kaira acheres. You have to bring another kaira. And again, based on the pshatim, what we just learned, what does tzarach lavi kaira acheres mean, we'll have different definitions. According to the man da'amid that says we could say lavud, so we just have to bring these two kairos close enough to each other that we should be able to say lovud. According to the opinions that don't apply over here the concept of lovud, they're going to say you have to put them right next to each other and then measure that if we put them right next to each other, they have the proper dimension, it'll be a good kairos. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, even if the two kairos don't have the proper dimension, in Mekabos Arias L'Archai, if we could put an ariach on that length, that means you could put the width of the ariach of the shlosh tefachim can be put there, then the halacha is ein tzarach lahavi kaira acheres. There's no need to bring another kaira. As long as you could put a brick along the length. Achas lamala. If you have one kaira above the other kaira. Achas lamala v'achas lamata. One kaira is higher and one kaira is lower. The halacha takes the higher kaira and brings it down. And the halacha takes the lower kaira and brings it out, and brings it up. And now they'll be touching each other and I'll have a proper kaira. However, says the Gemara, going back to the first halacha that we learned in Amasechta, all this will be acceptable if the higher kaira is not higher than 20 amos, because as we learned at the beginning of Masechta, a kaira that's higher than 20 amos is not a valid kaira. And furthermore, the lower kaira can't be tachtoyna lamata me'asar, can't be less than 10 tefachim from the ground, because then also it's not considered a valid kaira. Rashi points out, Rashi Masech the Sukkah, the Gemara says we take the higher one and we bring it down, and we bring the lower one and we bring it up. Rashi says in Masech the Sukkah we don't really have to do both. We just have to connect them, and bring the higher one down or the lower one up is adequate. Furthermore, the Rishayim say that even though we're, as long as they're not above 20 or below 10, we could connect them. Rishonim say that they have to be within three tefachim of each other. But if there's such a distance, there's a greater distance than three tefachim between these two kairos, then we can't say it's a kosher kairos. Amar Abaya, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that we take these kairos and bring them up and down, Sovala Kachvu B'chadup, he held like his father, Rabbi Yehuda, in one halacha, or palagla b'chadah, but on the other hand, he doesn't completely agree with him. Savala kavu b'chadah, this leiroin, that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that taught us that the halacha brings it down and picks it up. However, palagla b'chadah, the Rabbi Yehuda savala malam esrim, that a kaira that's above esrim amma is not kosher. The beginning of the Masech, Rabbi Yehuda, a kaira could be even higher than 20 amma. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Sava, but clearly here, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that B'toich Esrim, only when the Kaira is within 20 Amis, is it a valid Kaira? L'malam Esrim, but if it's below Esrim, then if it's above Esrim, like it's not a Kosher Kaira. Rabbi Yehuda, at the beginning of our Masechta, the first Mishnah, taught us that a Kaira could even be higher than 20 Amis. Obviously, Rabbi Yosef does not agree with his father in that halacha. Rabbi Yehuda, furthermore, we learned in the Mishnah, Rechava, if it's proper width, Apish and Abri, even though it's not sturdy enough, it's still a valid Kaira. Says the Gemara Masnaloi, Rabbi Yehuda Lechia Barav, Kamei de Rav. Rechava, Apish and Abri, that even if the Kaira has the proper width, even if it's not strong enough to hold the brick, it's still a valid Kaira. Amalei, so Rav said to Rabbi Yehuda, Asne, teach your son Chia Rechava Ubriya, that it has to be wide and strong. Ask the Gemara, Vamar Beloy Amrav Rechava Arba Abishan Ubriya, that if you have a kaira that's 4 tefachim deep, even if it's not sturdy, it's kosher. So why are you telling me that it has to be strong enough? Says the Gemara, Anudin Rechava Arbashani. Then once the kaira is 4 tefachim deep, then the strength of the kaira is immaterial and will always be considered a kosher kaira. We learned further in the Mishnah, Haisa Shalkash, if the kaira is made out of straw, out of sticks, it's always considered a kosher kaira. And we look at it as if it's a metal. Ask the Gemara, my Kamashmalon, what are you trying to teach me? The Armenian Ryan, that he subscribes to the concept of Ryan. Ask the Gemara, isn't that Hainuhach? Isn't that what Rabbi Yehuda already taught us in the previous din? Where Rabbi Yehuda taught us in the previous din that if the Kaira has the proper dimensions, even though it's not sturdy enough, it's going to be a valid Kaira. So why do you need to repeat this din? Answers the Gemara. Madu Tema, maybe where would Rabbi Yehuda say his din? Bemina, if you made the Kaira out of a material that can't be sturdy, so even though this particular kaira is not bria, that's where Rabbi Yehuda applies the concept of rayon, that we look at it as if it was made out of a sturdy material. However, shalai b'mina, when it was made out of straw or one of these flimsy materials, maybe over there Rabbi Yehuda will not apply the concept of rayon, loy aminin. Shalai b'mina loy aminin. When it's made out of a flimsy material, he won't apply the concept of rayon. Kamash malon. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us, that even by a flimsy material does Rabbi Yehuda apply the concept of Rayon. We learned further in the Mishnah, Akuma Rayon Oisai Kilipshuta, that if the Kaira is made out of if it's not straight, if it's circular, we look at it as if it was straight. Pshita. So ask the Gemara, again, Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us that we apply the concept of Royin. So we apply the concept of Royin. So here too, of course, we would apply the concept of Royin. And this Gemara's question is a raya to the Rishonim that said that this part of the Mishnah as well was only following the opinion of Yehuda. Because the question of the Gemara is that, why do you have to tell me this thing? It's just a further application of the concept of Royin. And Rabbi Yehuda already taught us twice in our Mishnah that we apply the concept of Royin. But that's only if this Mishnah is following only the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. However, if the opinion of the Mishnah is following the Rabbanon, so now we have a Chiddush. That even though in the first part of the Mishnah, the Rabbanon did not apply the concept of Royin, they are applying it here. So why is the Gemara... So isn't that a raya that this part of the Mishnah is only going according to Rabbi Yehuda? But there are Rishonim that say that it's not, that the question is even according to Rabbanan. Because the Rabbanan are saying, where did the Rabbanan not apply the concept of Royin? When, like the Gemara said, when you have a flimsy material. But here where you have a good material, of course we ought to apply the concept of Royin. And that's why the Gemara asks, why does the Mishnah have to teach it to us? Hakama answers the Gemara. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is Kamashmon Kreb Zera. Dom Rab Zera, he, B'toicha Mavi, part of the Kair is within the walls of the Mavi, V'akimasoi Mechutz the Mavi. But part of it is protruding outside of the Mavi, which is diagram 104. He, L'malam Asara, the Kair itself, is above 10 tefachim, but the part that goes, that rounds out, is rounding out below 10 tefachim. We look, if we would take that part that's sticking out in whatever direction, and there would still not be a break between the two sides of the kaira of more than three tefachim, then that it's a valid kaira. Ain't tzarech lavi kaira ches, we need not bring another kaira. Then laugh. However, if there's going to be a larger break than three tefachim, tzarech lavi kaira ches. Ask the Gemara, nami pshita. There's no chiddush in this halacha. This is just an application of the concept of lavid, which we've been speaking about throughout our shir. That whenever you have a break of less than three tefachim, we say lavid. Answers the Gemara, he betoich mavi akimosu chutzl mavi atzichlei. The chiddush is for this diagram 104. Maybe we ought to be concerned that we should go outside, that if part of the kaira is outside of the mavi, the person will come to walk outside of the mavi, and therefore he'll be walking into the Rishos Rabbim, carrying the items that he was carrying in the mavi, kamash malon, that we don't have to, we're not concerned for that. So there's an incredibly interesting discussion based on this Gemara in the Chashukei Chemet. He says that when the digital watches came out, that if you press a button on the side of the watch, the light goes on. He says he asked his father-in-law, Rav Yoshev Zatzal, if you could wear such a watch on Shabbos, could you put such a watch on your night table on Shabbos and use it on Shabbos? And he said, the Rav Yoshev said that you can't do such a watch on Shabbos. For we have to be concerned that since you're accustomed to always press the button on the side of this watch to put on the light, to be able to see the time, whatever it is, he says, even a person that doesn't usually put on the light, since it's so possible that you're going to do so, this is a basic function of this watch, we need to be concerned that the person who's going to wear the watch, use the watch, is going to do so, and therefore he says you shouldn't use that watch on Shabbos, you shouldn't watch that used on Shabbos. And the question is that why? It's a good gzeira, but as we've discussed numerous times, we don't have the ability to make our own gzeiras. Whatever gzeiras Chazal made are gzeiras. Any gzeira that Chazal don't make, as much sense as it makes, all the gzeiras they made, we have to follow, even if we think that the reason for those gezeiros should not apply anymore. And on the other hand, we can make our own gezeiros. So why over here are what the Rebbe Yoshua say, we're not allowed to wear that watch? It's his own gezeira. So Rebbe Yoshua explained, when there is no, where don't we make a gezeira? Where in normal use, there's no real concern that somebody's going to do something wrong. But in a situation where through normal use, there's a real concern that somebody's going to do something that he's not allowed to do, saying that you have to be careful is not called a gzeira. Saying that you have to be careful is the way a person's supposed to behave. A person's supposed to behave in a way that he should be careful not to come to do an aveira. And he brings two rayas. One raya is from a Gemara that we learned in Masechta Shabbos, that pay aleph on the base, and this is a halacha and simon shin yud beis sif tes, that somebody may not clear out or work in a field on Shabbos. And the concern is, Shema Yovel HaShvui Gumas. And the Mishnah Berurah there in Sifkaten Chavtal explains that when you're on a place where it's very common that you flatten out the field, that's when we make a gzeira, even if there's no gzeira in a Braisa or in a Mishnah. It makes sense that you should be careful. He quotes a Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai says that a person who many times leaves a cup of water next to his bed, because if he gets thirsty in the middle of the night, he should be able to take a drink. Yom Kippur, he shouldn't leave that cup there. Even if he'll need the cup of water for children who are not fasting, we're concerned that if there's a cup of water there, you may come to drink that water. So he says, what do we see from all these halachas? That wherever there's a basic concern that it's very possible you're going to do something wrong, saying that you're not allowed to do it doesn't mean that we made a new gzeira. He says that's the same in our Gemara. The Gemara said that we had to teach us that if you have part of the kaira protruding outside of the walls, outside of the entrance of the mavui, we had to teach us that you still can be considered a valid kaira. Why? Because we're concerned that since part of the kaira is sticking out past the entrance of the mavui, you may come to carry past the entrance of the mavui. Says the Keshukei Chemed, this is not a gzeira, it's not a mishnah, it's not a brisa. How could they make such a gzeira? Why were they concerned? The answer is, since it's very common for a person to feel that he could walk until where the kaira is, it's not a gzeira to say that you can't. Now the Gemara says, no, we don't have to be worried about it. But certainly, it's considered a legitimate concern. And since it's considered a legitimate concern, that's why it's not called a gzeira if we would answer it, unless the Gemara tells us that we don't have to be machmer. So we said in the Mishnah, agula, if the kaira is a round piece of wood, we look at it as if it was flat. Run as a kilim rubas. So again, ask the Gemara, Sulamali, why do we have to keep on repeating these halachas that are obvious? Answers the Gemara, there is no chiddush. It's all that we say royin. Answers the Gemara, the chiddush is seif istrukle, for the next din of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, kol sheyesh bekeifa shlosh tvachim, whenever you have a circumference of three tvachim, you're going to have an area of a tefach. That's what the Mishnah had to teach us. Ask the Gemara, Menani Mili, where do we indeed know that from? So Tosfos asks the question, this is a mathematical fact, that the difference between the circumference, the formula for the circumference is 3 to 1. So the Gemara has to bring a pasuk to teach us that that's the fact. It's a mathematical fact. So Tosfos explains that it's not really Tosfos says this and the Rashba says this, is that it's not really precisely 3 to 1. And the Chiddush of the Gemara is, based on what we see in the Pesukim, that we could use the 3 to 1 ratio, even though it's not really precisely 3 to 1. Where do we see that we use that ratio? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amakra. The Pasuk speaks about when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. And when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, this Pasuk says, V'yas Esayam Mutzok, he made a pool out of metal. Esser Ba'am Mesfasa Tzfasai, it was 10 Amis from rim to rim. Ogul Saviv, it was around. The Chamish Ba'amah Kamasai, and it was 5 Amis high. The Kav Shloish Ba'amah Yisuf Oisei Saviv. And the circumference was 30 Amis. So we see, if it had a circumference of 30 Amis, the width was 10 Amis. Ask the Gemara, but that isn't precise. Vika Sfasai, isn't there the rim that has to be taken into consideration? Answers the Gemara Amra Papa, Sfasai, Sfach, Per Shoshin Ksibai. Regarding the rim, the Pasuk says it was like a flower. It was extremely thin. The Ksiv, V'avyoi Tefach. The walls of the pool were Tefach. Usfasai, but the rim was Kamasa Sfas Kois Perach Shoshin. Extremely Apayim Bas Yochel. It was extremely thin, and therefore it didn't really take up a lot of room. Ask the Gemara, fine, it's not very significant, but it did take up some room. Vikumashu, didn't it take up some room? So why are we ignoring it? Answers the Gemara, Kika Choshev Megavoy Kachoshev. Our Gemara is only focused on the area, on the width inside the pool. We're not talking about the outside of the pool, and therefore the rim is immaterial. Tanya Reb Chiya, says the word, Tanya Reb Chiya, Yam Sha'osah Shloima, the pool that Shlomo HaMelech constructed, Hayu Machzik Meya V'Chamishim Mikvah Tahara. It was big enough that you could put into it 150, the shear of 150 mikvahs. What's the point of this Gemara? The point is that Shlomo HaMelech built this pool by the Beis HaMikdash, and he knew that there would be many Kahanim and many Yisraelim who would be coming to the Beis HaMikdash, and of course they would need to be matar themselves. They would need to purify themselves before they went into the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why Shlomo HaMelech made a large pool, a large mikveh, that there should be enough room for all of them to be able to use as a mikveh. Ask the Gemara Michti. Let's analyze this statement. Mikveh kamahava. What is the shear of a kosher mikveh? Says the Gemara, the shear of a kosher mikveh is abam saw. 40 saw. Where do we get that number for? From Ketanya, the pasuk says v'rochetz b'sara b'mayim b'mei mikvah, that you could use a mikvah to be matar yourself. The pasuk uses the words kol b'saroi mayim shokol gufay oil b'hem, enough water to cover the entire body. The kamehim, how much space does that take up? Amal ama, the width of an amal ama. Rum shalosh amis, by the height of 3 amis, the shira chachamim, and Chazal determined that the main mikveh is abam saw, that the amount of water you need to have in a mikveh is 40 saw, approximately 200 gallons. Kamala havelahu. Now, in this pool, how many amis were there? We said that the dimensions of the pool were 10 by 10 by 5. So that takes up, is 500. So now, we're looking at the pool at this point as if it were a square. So, chamish me gamidi. So we have 500 cubic amas. The thlas me ama. So we take from 300 cubic amas, we can make 100 mikvahs of water. Because a mikvah has to have 3 cubic amas of water. So we take 300 and divide it by 3, we'll have 100. Now, Baba Meiv, and then another 150, with another 150 cubic amis, we'll have another 50 mikvahs. So ask the Gemara, why do you need to have 500, an area that holds 500 cubic amis? 450 would be enough, answers the Gemara. You're right. Hani mili barabua. If the mikveh that Shlomo HaMelech built was a square, then you would be correct. However, Yam Shasa Shlomo Ogel Hava, it was round. So says the Gemara formula. Michti, whenever you have a circle in a square, How much merubah yes al oga? How much is the square larger than the circle? How much do you lose for the circle? So the mitzvah says the Gemara, you lose a reviyah. You lose a quarter. So that means it'll take from 500, you'll take down to 400. If that's the case, that means if you started by 500 and you take a fourth out, it'll be 400. La'ava meiv me'ah, so for meiv esrim chamisha, hani meiv esrim chamisha v'havelahu. So the Gemara is asking, so for 400 of the original amos, we're taking them down, we're down to 300 cubic amos. From 300 cubic amos, we can make 100 mikvahs. L'meiv esrim chamisha, and then from the remaining 100 amos, again, because we start with 500 and now we're down to 400, you can make 25 mikvahs. So you only have, hani meiv esrim chamisha avalu, you only have 125 mikvahs. How could the braisa say that we had enough room for 150 mikvahs? Answers the Gemara, tani ramin b'chama, yam sh'asa shloima, the pool that Shlomo HaMelech constructed, shalosh amos taktonis merubos, the three bottom amos of the mikvah were square, and the two top ones, v'shtayim shalosh agulos, and the top two were round, as is shown in diagram 106. So says the Gemara, ned ipchalay matzus amrit. You can't say that it was the bottom was round and the top was square, because the pasuk explicitly says the sfasa ogulksiv. The pasuk says that the top was round. However, ask the Gemara, alei mechada, why was saying that two top amas were round? Maybe only one top amma was round. Answers the Gemara, loy sakadatach. You can't say that way. The ksiv, because the pasuk says regarding this mikvah, payim bas yochel, it'll hold 2,000 bas. Bas kamahava, how much is a bas? Sholoson, three saw. The ksiv, masa, the pasuk says, masa habas menakor. So the kor is 30 saw, a bas, which is 10%, is three saw. So if we have a payim bas, so we're going to be holding havale shita alfi guryoi. It will hold 6,000 saw. 6,000 saw is the equivalent of 150 mikvahs, because a mikvah, as we said, is 40 saw. So 6,000 divided by 40 is 150. Ask the Gemara, but there's a different pasuk that says v'ksiv machzik b'tayim shloshes alofim. It says it held 3,000 bas. Here it says it contained 2,000 bas, and there it says it contained 3,000 bas. Answers the Gemara, hula gotcha. That pasuk is referring to the amount that is heaped above the rim of the pool. Om Rabaya, so says the Gemara, from here we see, Shmamino, Hai Gutcha, Tulusahava, that when we're measuring the rim of what is contained inside, it's a third of the amount. As we see here, it was 1,000, and when they measured a third, they looked at it Milgav, Nobar. So if we start with 2 and then we have 3, 1,000 is a third of the final number. And says the Gemara Tanan Nami, we have such a Gemara elsewhere. Shade Tevik Migdol, when you have a box, different types of boxes, Kaveris Agash, Kaveris Akanim, different types of baskets, Bor Svin Alexandria is a pit, or a type of a small boat, Abisheshlam Shemayim, even though they have bottoms, Vemachzikim Aboim Sam Belach, and they can hold 40 saw of liquid, Shen Karayim B'Yovish, the same, and they can hold 2 kor of dry substance. That means something that can hold 40 saw of liquid can hold 60 saw of solid tahorim. Since they're so large and they're not movable, they're tahor. So we see that a container with a volume of 40 saw can have room for 20 saw on top of it. The amount that it can hold for heaping by liquids and the amount by dry is not the same. And why is it important for us to know how much it could hold? Explain the Rishonim, because if we have a situation where I'm buying something from you, I'm selling something to you, and I say I'm not only selling you the inner contents, but I'm also selling you the gotchoi, the heaping, So we have to know how to measure how much is owed to the from the buyer, from the seller to the buyer. Says the Mishnah L'chaim Sha'amru, when we speak about the lechis, goyven asar and tfachim, they have to be 10 tfachim high, v'rochfam v'avyin kalshu. In terms of the width and the thickness, it's a kalshu. Rabbi Yosemer, rochfam gimel tfachim, that the width must be, according to Rabbi Yosemer, at least 3 tfachim. L'chaim Sha'amru, says the Gemara, the Mishnah used the word l'chaim, they were speaking about 2 lechis. Says the Gemara, Leimat Tanan Stama. It seems that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. The Amar, that in order to be able to carry in a movie, Rabbi Lezer said you have to have l'chaim beating, you have to have 2 lechis. Says the Gemara, Loi, our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. Rather, the way to understand, my l'chaim is l'chaim de Alma. When we speak about the different lechis throughout Halacha, we're speaking about l'chaim, that they have to be, these dimensions. Ask the Gemara if that's the way we're defining the word l'chaim. Says the Gemara, Hachi Kaira. When we speak about the Kaira, the Mishnah that we began to share today, Naomi Nisni, so the Mishnah should have used the word Kairos and said, my Kaira is Kairos to Alma. Says the Gemara, Hachi Kama. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Oysen l'chaim, when we the l'chaim, which have been a subject, Shnechel Kubem, Rebbe Lazer, v'chachomim. That Rebbe Lezer and the Chum argued. So what Gvaya Sara Vrachva Avyan Kalshu. And as the Ritva explains, what the Gemara is trying to teach us is that even though Rebbe Lezer and the Chachamim may have a machloikis regarding how many lechis you have, there is no machloikis about what are the proper dimensions of the lechi. To that everybody agrees. The Kama Kalshu, what is the shear of a Kalshu? Tani Rabchia, so Rabchia said that the shear of a kalshu afil kachut asabel, the string that they used by the cloak, and any lechi, anything is fine. And from this drama says Ulkain, this is drama in Siman Shin Samach Gimel Sif Zayin. Ulkain oisin lechi misit tochi bekaisel. You could smear cement on the wall. As long as it's obvious that it's an extra part of the wall, it has to be, as long as you have some substance and it's noticeable that it's not just part of the wall, it's going to be kosher as a lechi. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, if somebody put a lechi in the middle of the depth of the lavi, you only could carry within that, from the lechi and deeper into the mavi. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, you only could carry from where you have a lechi. El Eima, Yesh Lechatzim Mavi. That half behind the lechi you could carry in. Ask the Gemara, why not? You have a lechi. Hanam Pshita. Answers the Gemara, Madatema, and this is very much in line with what we discussed earlier in the shir. Lechishtama Osl Shtamusha Bekule. If we're going to let you use part of the Mavi, and you only may use part of the Mavi, because your Lechi is not all the way within the depth of the Mavi. So maybe we should be concerned. Madatema Lechishtama Osl Shtamusha Bekule, which you may not. Kamashmalan, we need not be concerned. Amar of Osl Lechle Mavi. If you made a Lechi for your Mavi, but you raised it from the floor of the mavi 3 tefachim, or you put it 3 tefachim away from the wall, it's not a valid lachi. Vafilu, says the Gemara. So Vafilu of Shimon Gamliel, the Omar, that where Shimon Gamliel said on that test regarding a kaira that doesn't reach the other wall, that Amrina loved. Hanimila Lamala, that was only said regarding the Kaira. Avalamata, when we're speaking about the Lechi, Kivan the Havi, Mechitza Shagdi in Balkaba, we spoke at the beginning of the Shir, any Mechitza, any partition through which the Gedim could go through is not considered a valid partition. There, even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel will agree that we can't apply the concept of Lovod and it's not a valid Lechi. Rabbi Yossi said the depth of a lechi has to be 3 tefachim. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, and Halacha Rabbi Yossi, the Halacha does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, loy behilmi, not regarding the Halacha of making salt water to for a dip for vegetables on Shabbos. Rav Yossi in Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis said that you're not allowed to make even a small amount. The Chum said that you are allowed to make a small amount. A big amount, the Chachamim agreed you're not allowed to make because it looks like you're making material to process your leather. But a small amount, Rabbanan will make it. And the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi there, and not regarding the depth of the lechi that he spoke about in our Mishnah. Amar Rav Huna bar Chanina lar Yossi, behimot amatlan, and Hilmi, you indeed told us that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi, but lechayim loy amrit. But lechayim, you didn't say that. And as we often say, Rabbi Yossi forgot his learning, and they needed to remind him what he had said previously. Ask the Gemara, Maishna behilmi, why by Hilmi don't we paskin like Rabbi Yossi? The pligi Rabbanan lei, because Rabbanan disagree. So ask the Gemara, so l'chaim nami pligi Rabbanan lei. As we saw in our Mishnah, by the lechi, the Rabbanan also disagree. So obviously, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Am leishani l'chaim, by lechi, maybe we ought to paskin like Rabbi Yossi, mishum dekoi Rebbe kavasei. Because we find that Rebbe followed that opinion, and that's why maybe there we do follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. La halacha we don't. Rav Chumi Masni Hachi. Amar Rav Yehuda Bereid Rav Shmuel Bar Shailas Mishmei Derav. Ein halach Rav Yossi loy be lehilmi v'loy be lechayim. Not regarding Hilmi or lechayim. Amar Le Amrit. Did you say that? Amar Lehu loy. I didn't say it. Amar Rav Alakim. I could say a shvua that you did say that the halach is not Rav Yossi. V'gamar Le Minei, and we learned this from you. And now, my tamaka hadabe, why are you retracting? Rabbi Yossi always was very well thought out, and that's why I started being concerned for his opinion. Look what people do, and people make lechi that are very thin, so narrow, so it's a proof that the halacha is like the chachamim. But others have this discussion regarding this halacha. The Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Brachos, Hashoy Samayim Tzmaya, if somebody is drinking water because he's thirsty, Oy Meshachal Nei B'dvorei. The Tafanimah, Boyer in the Foshas Rabbis, the Chesroinon, Akol Ma'asheh Barosah. That, and the Machloikas, according to most Rishonim, is regarding the Bracha Rishonah. Bracha Achroinah, everybody will agree that it's Boyer in the Foshas. Machlok says, what is the bracha rishon? Amalei, v'chana labai hilchsamai. What is the halacha? What is the bracha rishon on water? Amalei, puk chazi mayam bedava. Look what people do. And as we know, people, when they drink water, they make a shahakal as a bracha rishonah and a bayir in the foshes as a bracha achroinah. But that's only when you're drinking water, letzimai, because you are thirsty. But if you're drinking water because you're if you're drinking water just to help you swallow a pill, for example, then you don't make a bracha on that water. But the Paiskim say that that halacha, that you don't make a bracha when you're drinking water just to help you get a pill down or something like that, is only by water. But by other types of liquids, other types of beverages, even if the entire purpose of drinking it is only to help you get down the pill or help you get down the food, since it's not water, you're going to make a shahakal no matter what. And it turns out that if you're taking a pill, probably the best thing to do is not drink it with water, drink it with a different beverage, and you wouldn't have a shaila, then you can make a bracha rishayna. There's also a machloikis, if what is the proper nusach for the bracha achroina? Do you say baruch hei olamim, which is our minig, or do you say with Hashem, baruch atah Hashem, Chei Ha'ilamim. The Rabbi Yehuda Asad says a beautiful pshat in this Gemara. He says, we know that the Gemara Masechta Bava Kama, the Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, teaches us, Eim Mayim El Torah. As the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Hoy Kol Tzomei L'chu L'mayim. Teaches us the Gemara, Shoy Samayim L'tzomei. Somebody learns Torah, but he doesn't just learn Torah. He learns Torah L'tzomei, as if he's thirsty. He's anxious. He has a gewaldige geschmack and a cheshik and a desire to learn Torah. Somebody who learns Torah in such a fashion, Shahakal niya b'dvaray. Whatever he says will be fulfilled. He will be the type of an individual who tzadik goyzer v'akadosh baruch hu mekayim. A person who learns Torah in such a fashion. A person who learns Torah in such a fashion is the one that's bringing a keem to the world, that's bringing existence to the world. And therefore, shahakal niya b'dvaray, his brachas and his tefillas will always be in the scabbard.